Proverbs chapter 19 is where we are tonight, and we're going to look at the 14th verse together. Proverbs 19, verse 14. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this day that you, Lord, made for us to live for you. We thank you for the joy it's been this day to walk with you, to, Lord, see you at work in our lives. We pray now that you would speak to our hearts as we study your word together. We ask that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would take and use, Lord, your word and this time we have together to bring change to our lives. We love you, Lord, and thank you for all that you're doing and all that you have in store for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to speak to you about a gift that we men are too often prone to take for granted. And yet when we consider this gift tonight, the gift of a godly wife, the gift of a prudent wife, as this verse says, as we think about this tonight, we're going to see truth not only for men, but also for women. We will see truths for not only husbands and wives, we're going to be challenged in our role as parents, and also the young people here tonight. We'll see principles that are very valuable and very important as you think about your future and as you think about marriage. Tonight, what I want us to do is first look at this truth as it's stated. I want us to understand it. And then tonight I want to share with you seven principles from this verse. To begin with, notice the truth that's stated. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. But at the same time, it is profound and it is much needed in our culture. He says in verse 14, house and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. That is, a young man, simply by being born into a family, may one day inherit a house and wealth. This is something that he receives from his parents. But if that young man marries a prudent wife, if he discovers one day that he has a prudent wife, he ought to know this, that is due entirely to God's gracious and providential working in his life. The Lord is the one who deserves the credit if we have a good wife. Now, a couple of things to keep in mind as we think about this. First of all, you need to remember this was a day of arranged marriages. And so when he talks about the Lord giving you a prudent wife, men, remember that this came about through the selection of parents. In fact, fathers were the ones who normally selected a wife for their sons. And so this would be a work of God, a work of providence, God working through the choices of parents, working through the choice of a father. This is how the young man would arrive at a place of having a godly wife. The second thing I want you to keep in mind is in the verse here, in the text, the wife being from the Lord is emphatic. When he says a prudent wife is from the Lord, Derek Kidner makes the point that it's emphasized in this verse. We're not simply giving God thanks in some general way for some blessing that he gave us. The verse is saying that it is due to God's active working, due to God's active working, due to God's blessing, that any man has a prudent wife. God was active in it. God was working in the situation to bring it about. And so the Lord is the one who gives us a good wife if we have a good wife, a godly wife. Now, from that simple and straightforward truth tonight, let me share with you some important principles, some things to keep in mind as we think about marriage. And no, this does not start the series we're going to do on marriage. That's 2 weeks away. This verse was just on my heart this week, and I wanted to talk to you about it. But let me give you some principles from this verse. First of all, notice with me that this verse speaks of the happiness, the contentment, the blessing, the joy that can be known in a marriage. This verse tells us that a marriage can be a joyful thing. You say, where do you get that from? Well, notice the verse that comes right before it, verse 13. A foolish son is destruction to his father, and the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. In the verse right before verse 14, he's telling us about things that bring heartache, things that cause pain, things that we regret, things that are hard. A foolish son is a hardship to a father, and a contentious wife is like a constant dripping to her husband. But in contrast to that, know this, that if you have a prudent wife, she's from the Lord. And so just as surely as an ungodly relationship can bring sorrow and heartache, we need to remember that a godly marriage brings great joy and great blessing. When a man has a prudent wife, instead of the sorrow and the heartache of a home where there's contention and strife, there's happiness, there's safety, there's peace, there's contentment, there's blessing. And we need to stress the thought of blessing, because this kind of home only exists where there is the blessing of God. God is the one responsible for it, and it's only where His blessing rests that you can know this kind of marriage. Let me say it to you this way tonight. Just getting married doesn't make someone happy. And young people, you need to know that. I think there are many people who somehow hold out in their mind this really false view of marriage. They think, well, if I just get married, I'll be happy. I'm sort of unhappy, sort of miserable in my single state, and so if I just get married, there'll be this happiness that I'll know in my life. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Verse 13 tells you that you may get married and find that you have a constant dripping. You may get married and find that you have a very unhappy situation. If we're to know joy in our homes, there has to be the blessing of God. And so if tonight you have a happy home, if you have a joyful marriage, if you find that you are married to someone who loves the Lord and loves you and your best friend, who do you give thanks to for that? You give thanks to the Lord for that, because only He can produce it. There's a second principle here. This verse also reminds us of how that happy home comes into being. That is, parents plan for their children. Parents teach their children. Parents do their very best, hopefully, Christian parents do, to give guidance and counsel about the kind of person in our culture, the kind of person that a young man or woman would want to court or date. We give counsel and guidance as to marriage. But you know what? When it's all said and done, if your son or your daughter one day marries someone who loves the Lord and who loves them, it cannot be attributed to your great wisdom. You can't attribute it to your great planning. It's due to God's blessing. In fact, the way he puts it in verse 14 is, a house and wealth is something that naturally flows from parents to children, but when it comes to your child marrying someone who loves the Lord and who will love them, that is due to God's grace and mercy. Due to God's grace and mercy. You know, in all the years I've spent in ministry, I found no one plans to have an unhappy home. If a joyful marriage was simply able to be attributed to planning, then I guess everyone would have one, because no one plans to marry someone who will be a heartache to him or her. In fact, I found that everyone who chooses to be married, at some level or another, they believe that they're making a good choice. They believe they're making a good choice. I've yet to meet with a couple, maybe you have, met with someone like this. I haven't. I've yet to meet with someone who will say to me, yes, we know we're headed for disaster and we look forward to arriving there. I mean, they just don't say that, do they? No one plans for disaster. And so a good marriage cannot be attributed simply to planning. Now, let me say this, though, very quickly. We'll talk more about this tonight. At the same time, remember, God works through means. He works through the counsel of godly parents. We'll talk more about that in a moment. He works through you walking in His truth and submitting to the counsels of His Word. And so I don't want to leave the impression that you just disregard all of the counsel of God and marry someone and, whoops, there it is. We turned out to be made for each other, and we have a joyful marriage. No. No, God works through means, but even when we consider all the means, when it's all said and done, we still have to give Him thanks. Why is that? Let me tell you why that is. First of all, because we are inadequate on the choosing side of things. We're inadequate. No one ever truly knows a person until after they are married. You can have all the conversations you want to have before you get married and talk about your future and really get to know one another, but you know, the fact of the matter is, you don't really know that person until after you're married. And not even in a year. It doesn't even take place in the first year. In fact, if most marriages, if most people thought about who they're married to after the first year, you would conclude at the end of the first year, you married the wrong person. Because you have two people who come from two different backgrounds, two different experiences in terms of being raised, and now they are learning what it is to live together as husband and wife. And that requires the grace of God. That requires the work of God. And so you don't know a person's heart. You don't know them until you begin to know what it is to live with them as husband or wife. At the same time, we're also inadequate, not only on the choosing side of it, and oh, that people would hear this and believe this, you and I are inadequate on the changing side of things. Don't ever think to yourself, well, I'm going to marry them and then change them in this area or that area into the person that the Lord wants them to be. Oh, no, you can't change anyone. You can't change anyone. In fact, when you think about marrying someone, you think about who you're going to marry, you better think long and hard before you marry them about whether or not they are already the kind of person you want to spend the rest of your life with. Because you won't be able to change them. Not a single one of us was ultimately what we will become when we were first married. We all change over time. And if a person doesn't truly know the Lord, over time you're going to see a hardening in their life concerning sin. If a person truly does know the Lord, you're going to see over time they are progressively being transformed into the image of their Savior. And who does that transforming work? The Lord does. And so when you're there 10 years later, 15 years later, and you've got a joyful marriage, and you're living with someone who loves the Lord and loves you, guess who saved them and guess who is sanctifying them? Who deserves all the credit, all the praise, all the glory? The Lord does. The Lord does. If a man has a prudent wife, she is from the Lord. And parents, if we understand that and believe that, then there's no pride possible, is there, in terms of how we've raised our children. Sometimes you listen to some parents and you would actually think that they try to take credit for all the good things that happen to their children. Their sons, their daughters, they marry people who love the Lord and who love them, and they're ready to put out a book on parenting. And the fact of the matter is, any wise parent understands, yes, God does work through means, He does use godly parents, godly training, godly teaching, but after you've done all your training and all your praying and all your teaching, if your son or daughter is married to someone who loves God and loves them, you ought to give the Lord thanks. It's due to His grace and mercy and providence. That also tells us, parents, that there's every reason to pray, right? If it's the Lord who gives that kind of wife, then who should we seek if we want our sons to have that kind of wife? If we know only the Lord can produce godly men, then who should we seek if we want our daughter to be married to a godly man one day? We ought to pray and ask the Lord to prepare them for the person they're going to marry and prepare the person whom they'll marry one day. So the second principle is that this verse tells us how that happy home comes into being. It is through the providential working of Almighty God. It's due to His grace and mercy. Which leads to a third principle, and that is, if we want the will of God for our sons and daughters, or if you're single, for your life, then you ought to be submitted to His will. If you desire this gift from God, then you must be submitted to God's will. If it's the Lord who must bless a marriage, and it is, then how foolish are we to expect His blessing if we won't attend to His word? Isn't it hypocrisy? Isn't it presumption? Isn't it irreverence and foolishness to say, now Lord, I want Your gift of a joyful marriage. I want Your gift of someone who will love You and love me, but I'm not willing to submit to Your word in my life. It is hypocrisy. It's foolishness to think that you'll arrive at the Lord's blessing in marriage when you willfully set His will aside. He said, well, Pastor, isn't it true, though, that over and over again, God takes a marriage that doesn't start out the right way, and He's turned those kinds of marriages into blessings later on? How many here tonight can say that you're thankful for your marriage, but it is nothing today like it was when it first started? Would you raise your hand? Well, then I think we have evidence, don't we? God does that. God does that. But listen. I promise you, most of the people who raise their hand will also say they didn't know nearly as much from the Word of God then as they know now. And if they had known then what they know now, they would have made some different choices. Not necessarily about the marriage, but about the courtship and about those early days in their marriage. They would have lived their lives differently. Amen? Those of you who raised your hand, isn't that true? See, there's a difference between God showing grace and mercy in the context of our ignorance and you and I having good teaching, sound teaching. We know right from wrong, and then we just decide to set it all aside. To totally ignore what His Word says. That's something altogether different. And you are inviting disaster when you violate the clear teaching of the Word of God and then expect or ask God to bless you despite your disobedience. That's something altogether different. It is a great blessing to sit under the teaching of the Word of God, to be able to have the Word of God, to study it on your own, to grow in your knowledge of the Word. That's a great blessing. But with that great blessing also comes a great responsibility. And there's a big difference between not knowing and God gracing you in your ignorance and you knowing full and well what's right and wrong and just deciding to disobey Him and then thinking that somehow He'll bless you later on down the road. We could also have people, and I won't do it, we could also have people raise their hands who entered into relationships knowing what was wrong, and they would be able to tell you about the heartache that they've suffered since then. That also has happened. There's a fourth principle here. This verse speaks to us about the relationship between parents and children. As I said earlier, remember, this was a day of arranged marriages. And yet God is saying that if a man has a prudent wife, she is from the Lord. So God worked through the guidance and the counsel of the father in this situation, the parents, to bring this woman into this man's life. Do you realize, young people, that God works through the guidance and counsel of parents? Do you realize that He's able to do that? The Bible does not mandate arranged marriages. And all the young people would say, amen. The Bible does not mandate arranged marriages. But I'll tell you one thing the Bible does teach, a strong influence from parents on the lives of their children. And the Bible does teach young people being submitted to their father and mother. And the Bible does teach children not only obeying their parents, but honoring their parents and listening to their parents. And there's a reason why God gave you your parents. And there is protection and there is guidance. Safety. Especially this is true if you have Christian parents. The best guide for a son when considering a young lady is the inside of a godly mother. Godly mother. Young men, just remember something. Your mother knows women. She does. And the best guidance for a young woman, a godly young woman, when she's considering a young man, is the inside of a godly father. Why? Because your father, young lady, he knows men. And if he's a godly man, if your mother's a godly woman, then not only does she have some, or he has some sort of just natural wisdom, because I'm going to talk about natural wisdom in a moment. That's not what our kids need. But they have a knowledge of the Word of God, and they have an understanding of the kind of man, the kind of woman that you will need to have a joyful marriage for the rest of your life. I think it's very instructive in Proverbs chapter 31 that when King Lemuel was being taught about a wife, do you remember who was teaching him? It was his mother. Proverbs chapter 31, look over there real quickly. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle, which his mother taught him. which his mother taught him. And there are other examples, of course, where fathers give counsel to sons as well. It's not that you can only listen to your father, to your mother if you're a son, and only to your father if you're a daughter. God has unique things to offer to sons and daughters through both parents. The point I'm making is this: God gave you your parents for a reason, and you are foolish to ignore their counsel. Foolish to ignore their counsel. Only heaven will reveal how many bad relationships young people have been saved from because their parents stepped in, because their parents gave them timely counsel. At the same time, now, here's another thing we ought to consider from this. Parents, the only kind of guidance and counsel we want to give is that which accords with the Lord's will, and the Lord's blessing, you see, is the goal. We want to help our children experience God's will for their lives, God's blessing in their lives. And so we need to realize it's not natural wisdom that they need. The Bible in the book of James calls natural wisdom earthly, demonic. Earthly, demonic, sensual. That's not the kind of wisdom they need. They need the counsel of Christian parents, which should be of an entirely different nature. Counsel taken from the Word of God. Does your advice, does your counsel square with the Scriptures? This is what they need. And most of the time, when you talk about parents not giving biblical counsel, it's not that their counsel goes beyond the standards of Scripture, it's that their counsel falls far short of the standard of Scripture. Parents, one of the things we must be convicted of, it is not our God-given role to give counsel that makes our children like us. It is our God-given role to give our children counsel that helps them walk in the will of God. And one day, if they're truly born again, they will appreciate that biblical counsel, but at the moment, they may not necessarily appreciate it. Do you feel like it's your job just to keep your children happy? Do you feel like it's your job to simply make them like you or think that you are their friend? Or do you understand that you have a God-given responsibility to tell them the truth? The truth. God uses parents. That ought to speak to young people, and that ought to speak to parents. What kind of counsel are you giving to your children? There's a fifth thing here. If you look back in Proverbs 19:14, remember again what we're reading there. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Here's a fifth principle. This verse speaks of the kind of wife that the Lord would give. If God gives a wife to a man, what kind of wife does He give? He gives a prudent wife. This is the kind of wife that's seen as a blessing from God, a prudent wife. Proverbs 18:22 says it this way. Look there, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Now, he's certainly not talking about the wife of Proverbs 19:13. He's talking about the wife of Proverbs 19:14. This is the good wife. This is the wife that expresses the favor of God, a prudent wife. And that word, prudence, carries with it a lot of different thoughts. A wife of modesty. Ladies, if you're going to be a prudent wife, you ought to be a woman characterized by modesty. Modesty, not only in dress, but also in the way that you conduct yourself. A wife of wisdom. A wife who can actually give counsel to her husband that is sound. You can come alongside and be a helpmeet with the truth of God. You're able to encourage him in the way that the Lord would have him to go. A wife of discretion and discernment. I can't tell you how many times Jackie has been such a valuable help to me in the area of discerning something. A wife who is a credit to her husband. A wife who is a strength to her husband. There will be days that the husband is not as strong as he should be. There will be days that he gets discouraged, days that he might not make the best decision. And there's the need for this prudent wife, this strong wife, who can be a strength to him, an encourager to him. This is the kind of wife that the Lord gives. And every Christian wife, every Christian woman should want to be this kind of wife. Let me ask you tonight, ladies, is that your desire? Do you desire to be the prudent wife? If you say, well, what does the prudent wife look like? Just look at Proverbs 31. And there she is. We have time tonight. Let's read that together very quickly. Proverbs chapter 31. Look at verse 10. An excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. That's a good question to ask if you want to be a prudent wife. Can your husband trust you? You say, trust me in what way? Trust you in every way. Can he trust you? She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it from her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Where did we ever get the idea that a godly woman is weak? That if we obey what the Word of God teaches about womanhood, that somehow that makes a woman weak? Far from it. If you are the biblical woman, you're a woman of great strength, but not strength as the feminists define it. Strength for a woman is not acting like a man. Strength for a woman is acting like a woman. That's where strength is. Verse 18, she senses their gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. What does that mean? It means she has all her plans in order. She's ready. Ready for tomorrow. Ready for the week ahead. She can smile at the future. Verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children, you see, here's her reward. The lost world can't understand this. Lost womanhood says, well, what kind of reward is there in a life like that? I'll tell you the reward. Verse 28, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. There one day will be the blessing that you hear from God, the praise that you hear from God, but even now in this temporal world, there is the blessing of children and a husband who adore you and love you and appreciate you because you were this kind of woman. And young men, as you think about what kind of woman you want to marry one day, please remember verse 30. And young ladies, as you think about what kind of woman you want to be and where you're going to set your emphasis and your focus, remember verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is, what does it say? Vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. There's a sense in which you can tell where a godly woman has been by the work that has been produced. And her works, whether it be in the raising of her children or in the assisting of her husband or in the way that she cares for her household or in the people that she ministers to or the wisdom that comes out of her mouth, her works will praise her in the gates. Every Christian woman should want to be this kind of woman. Proverbs 14 verse 1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Are you a wise woman or a foolish woman? Well, let me ask you, are you building your house up, ladies, or are you tearing it down? Are you building it up or are you tearing it down? Now, at the same time, we can also say this, every Christian parent should want their daughter to be this kind of wife. God is the one who is glorified for this kind of woman. But remember, as I said earlier, He works through means. And these kinds of women are produced by two factors. Number one, and primarily, salvation produces this kind of woman. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ produces this kind of woman. But even after we've been saved, we need teaching, we need training, we need instruction. And the primary place where this kind of woman is taught to be this kind of woman is in the home. And the chief influence is her mother. And one of the reasons why there seems to be a great minority of these kinds of women, we have to look to the prior generation and to the generation before that. How do you teach a young woman to be like this if you're not willing to live like this? The Scripture says the older women are to teach the younger women. And yes, that takes place in the context of the church, but we're the church. And that ought to be taking place first and foremostly in our homes. Mothers teaching their daughters. I'm not trying to hurt feelings. I'm just being honest. Sometimes you see how a little girl walks dressed out of her home, and you could say, where's her father? But I also ask, where's her mother? Where is her mother? Who is teaching this young lady what is really important in a woman? This verse speaks about that kind of training. There's a sixth principle here. We're just about done. We have seven. There's a sixth. This verse speaks of the sweet and superior value of a godly woman. Why does he talk about house and wealth as an inheritance from fathers and then a prudent wife as being from the Lord? Why that comparison? Well, because she's far more valuable than a house or wealth. People tend to think about their inheritance and they think about possessions. But when the Lord has given you a prudent wife, He's given you someone far more valuable than anything you'll ever possess. The greatest gift, the greatest treasure outside of salvation you will ever know. She will be there when the house and the wealth are gone. And in most cases, she was there before the house and the wealth existed. Most of us, when we got married, what did we have? Nothing. But the Lord and one another. And she was there then. And she's been there as the Lord has blessed you financially and materially and brought you along that way. But you know the good news is this, and one of the great comforts and joys of your heart is knowing this, that if the house is gone and all the wealth goes away, if the Lord should will it, she's still there. And she'll give you a joy that house and wealth can't give you. There are people who have their house and they have wealth, but they're not happy. There are people who are married to one another, living in the same big house and enjoying the large wealthy things that they have, but they're not happy. If you have a prudent wife, if you have a godly wife, you have someone who can give you a joy that house and wealth can't give you. And she'll also give you a support that house and wealth cannot give you. When you need a friend, when you need a counselor, when you need someone to listen, the house and the wealth don't help you. But outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, that godly woman will turn out to be your best friend. This verse speaks of the sweet and superior value of a godly woman. That leads to the last thing tonight. This verse reminds husbands of how we should respond to such a gift. Don't raise your hands tonight, but how many men in this place tonight can say that God has given you such a woman? God has given you such a wife. Now, let me ask you, how do you respond to such a gift? How should we respond to any gift the Lord gives us? With humility, for one thing. With humility, we should give the Lord thanks. And you know what? Humility doesn't take things for granted, does it? If you show me someone who's taking something for granted, when I take something for granted, when you take something for granted, somewhere we are lacking humility in that area of our lives because we somehow act as if we deserved it, and because we deserved it, I guess we will always deserve it, is how we think about it. fact of the matter is, if you have a joyful marriage, it's not something you deserved or earned. It's the grace of God. And so there ought to be a humble thanks. Do you have a thankful heart tonight, husbands? If you have a godly wife, are you thankful? Are you humbled by that? Do you tell the Lord thank you? And do you ever let her know that you are thankful? And in the same way, with that same humility, you should treat her right. Treat her like a gift from God. Speak to her the right way. Treat her the right way. It ought to be an act of worship to the Lord. The way we handle our relationships is as much a matter of worship as anything else. And to claim that we're worshiping the Lord while we mistreat someone who is a gift from God to us is a contradiction. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits." When is the last time, fellas, that you remembered the Lord's benefit who may be sitting right next to you tonight? And if there's a woman in this congregation who is not that kind of wife to her husband, and if you claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it ought to grieve your heart. You see, probably in a group this size, there's some family in here that the husband loves the Lord and he's wanting to serve the Lord, and the wife is a great heartache to him. It ought to grieve you. Either side that's on, it ought to grieve us. Marriage can be a joyful, sweet, peaceful thing on this earth, but only where we have God's blessing. And if we want God's blessing, let us submit to God's Word and God's will. Let's bow our heads together, please. With our heads bowed, we realize tonight, or at least we should, that all of the blessings of God are experienced only outside of His common grace blessings. All the blessings of God are experienced only in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your greatest need tonight. It is to know Him. And to know Him, you must understand that you're lost. You were born into this world a sinner, unable in any way to merit God's acceptance. You must believe in your heart that Christ died on the cross for sinners just like you, and that He was raised from the dead. And you must look to the living Christ. You cannot see Him, but you must look to Him by faith and ask Him to be your Lord and your Savior. You need Him, my friend. But if tonight you're here and you say, "I know that I know the Lord," let me ask you, how is your marriage? How is it at home? Is the Lord being honored there? And understand this. The Scripture says we're to be at peace with all men as much as depends upon us. You can't manage both sides of that relationship. But what you can do and what you must do is submit yourself to the Lord and obey Him on your part. And may each one of us in this place who know Christ purpose in our hearts to handle that relationship in such a way that it truly could be called an act of worship toward God. Father in heaven, thank you for the great gift you give in a prudent wife. May we be thankful, Lord, and never take that for granted. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.